Morning. Happy New Year to those of you that I've not already seen. Today we're starting a new teaching series which we've called Church Life. And Paul and I are quite excited about this because over the next 6 weeks or so we're going to chat about some of the themes that God says are important when it comes to being a healthy church. And this morning, we're going to think about sharing. And just to stop me doing anything naughty or making anything trivial, I'm going to return those to Rob because they are quite a favourite of mine as well. In Luke 10, starting at verse 25, the Bible opens a story to us. If you've got a church Bible, you'll find this on the bottom of page 1041. I'm going to start reading at verse 25, but look it up on your phone if you use YouVersion or one of those great apps. Luke 10, starting at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus didn't quite say this, but he told a story. And if Jesus was telling us this story today, to us here in Thornhill Baptist Church, it might go a little like this. After working late one evening, a student was driving up Hinkler Road when his car broke down. Deciding to cut through Hinkler Green, he'd no sooner got out of the car when he found himself beaten, robbed, and stripped of his phone, car keys, bank cards, and other identification. Someone from the leadership team was on their way up to church. They saw flashing lights on a car and a huddled mass of a young man along the side of the road, but they were running late for their meeting, so they phoned 999 and called the incident in. A small group leader came round the corner, but knowing all the warnings about picking up hitchhikers and figuring it was much too dangerous, they averted their eyes, saying a quick prayer that someone else would come by quickly. A minister was driving up to the church after a pastoral visit. They saw the student propped up against his car, but the minister had just had their car valeted, and there was that church policy about a minister not being one-to-one with a young person. They knew that God would forgive them for driving by because they were simply following the rules. Finally, a beaten-up van with a broken tailgate came rattling round the bend and slowly came to a stop. Three men got out of the van, their well-worn, somewhat grubby clothes, a distinct difference from a clean and tidy student. They bent over his semi-conscious body, muttering to each other in a language that the student didn't understand. With rough but careful hands, they carried him to the back of the van. A first aid kit was brought out and opened, and the battered student felt water brought to his lips. In a delirium, he tried to thank them, but passed out. The next morning, when he woke up in the general hospital, he was told that some Middle Eastern men had brought him in. They refused to leave their names, but there was an envelope of cash to get a taxi home and some extra to go towards either repairs to his car or a new phone. The nursing staff told him that they'd waited until he'd been admitted to a ward and left quickly and quietly after that. Coming back to the Bible, at the end of the story in Luke, he asks in verse 36, Which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. In my little adaptation of the story we call The Good Samaritan, the member of the leadership team prioritised their own plans over the needs of another. They didn't have enough time, and so they didn't stop. The small group leader let fear get in the way of showing concern. They didn't have enough courage, and so they didn't stop. The minister allowed a policy to determine their actions rather than show kindness appropriate to the situation. They didn't have enough compassion, and so they didn't stop. Strangers, foreigners, people who had no good reason to stop, found the time and the courage and the compassion to help the student to a place of safety and healing. And you know, when Jesus tells a story like this in the Bible, it is an invitation for us to take a long, hard look at ourselves. And the invitation is obvious in the story of the Good Samaritan. Where are we in the story? Who might we have most been like? Do we hold back, or are we generous in the mercy we show to others, even when it's inconvenient? Or do we believe we lack what we need to show mercy, loving kindness to those around us, a stranger, our neighbour, family or friend? Do we believe we lack what we need? Or do we trust God to provide? Sometimes I think we miss the mark when it comes to being the hands and the feet and the voice of Jesus because we're operating out of a scarcity mindset, a mindset that traps us into thinking we can't. We can't do something because we don't have what's required. We can't visit those who need visiting because we don't have the time. We can't teach teenagers because we don't have the energy. We can't share our faith with a neighbour because what if they asked us a different question and we didn't have the answer that was needed? We can't go on a rota because we need to keep our options open. We might have something else to do on that day or night. We can't give financially because we might run out for ourselves. We can't listen to someone who's lonely because they might ask us for more. Excuse me. Or maybe we fall into an if-only way of thinking. If only that member of the leadership team had left earlier. If only the small group leader wasn't quite so afraid of the dark. If only the minister had had someone else in the car. But I wonder, when I hear myself make those if-only excuses, if I'm really honest, I wonder whether, if the circumstances were different, whether I would be, or whether I would find another if-only to justify inaction, not showing the love, the kindness and the mercy of God to those that I encounter in need. Sometimes the truth of the matter is we really don't have what we need. We really don't have it. But the amazing truth of the lack that we might find in our resource or ability, it's never, ever a problem to God. He's promised to provide everything that we need. He always accepts and loves our best. And what we bring is always good enough for him when it comes out of a place of an obedient heart. A little bit later on in Luke's story about Jesus' life in chapter 21, he tells of an occasion when Jesus was watching people in the temple. It'll be a familiar story to many of us. Luke says, as Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, he said, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All the other people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. She put in all she had to live on. And we don't know what happened to that poor woman after that observation and her action in the temple. But there's a fantastic story in 1 Kings 17, which gives me reason to believe that that poor widow somehow lived an okay life after that, after being noticed by Jesus. So let's turn to 1 Kings 17, which you'll find back on page, not that page, back on page, where are we? 358. We're going to start at verse 7. It's a story about Elijah. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there'd been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I've instructed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, would you bring me a little water in a jar so that I may have a drink? As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you've said. But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. And she went away. And she did as Elijah told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not dry up, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. You know, one of the greatest experiences we have is when we're limited in what we can share, and that forces us to depend on God, to trust him, to believe him when he says he is enough. His grace is sufficient for all of our needs. So what does depending on God look like? What does it mean to trust him when our resources are limited? I think it starts with us being honest about ourselves. Honest with ourselves. Are we naturally generous, or do we have a scarcity mindset? And in which areas of our lives do we find it really easy to be generous, and in which areas of our lives do we find that it's more of a struggle to give rather than to hold on? How generous are we in the way that we think about people? Do we first see the best, or do we find ourselves first finding fault? How generous are we in encouraging other people? Do we notice what they do well, or do we notice where they fail? How generous are we when we talk to other people about our faith? How generous are we in sharing the gifts of the Holy Spirit with others, sharing a verse or a picture or a word that we think God has given to us? Or do we remain silent for fear of getting it wrong? How generous are we in listening or praying for those who are struggling would we prefer to talk about our own problems and our own needs? How generous are we at getting involved in the life of the church, or are we too busy with our family and friends? In my experience, we've all got areas where we find it relatively easy to be generous. But I also think that we've all got areas in our lives where we find it difficult. We're cautious. And if we're really honest, we might even say, in that area, I can be a little mean. God invites his church to be a generous people who are willing to share what they have materially, what they have relationally, what they have mentally and emotionally and spiritually. And generosity only comes when we dig in deep with the one who is the giver of good things. We love our neighbour most when we know how deeply God loves us. We forgive others most when we know how deeply we have been forgiven by God. We respond gently to those around us when we have known the gentle, tender touch of our Lord Jesus. We're called to be the very brightest of lights in our community. And we can't do that if we're running empty or if we're running dry. Our lives are designed to be abundant, to come from the overflow of God's grace, his faithfulness, his hope, and his love that we've received. And so we need to dig in deep so there is enough to flood out. As we start a new year thinking about how can we be a healthy church, I want to ask you, how are you? How am I going to be a healthy individual, a sharing, caring, giving individual in 2025? I played a game over Christmas. Well, over New Year, really. It was called Who Knows Where. Anybody know the game, apart from those that I was playing it with? Nobody knows? I didn't know it either. But the game works like this. There is a board, and it is a map of the United Kingdom. And then there are question cards, which you need to answer. And the answer will always be a place, and then you have to locate it on the map. Anybody watch Richard Osman's House of Games? I'm not really. Some of you. So you know that game, Where is Kyrgyzstan? It's built on that kind of premise. Yeah? I'm not here to sell either, but just to try and put things into context. The questions in this board game that we were playing were relatively easy. Wasn't difficult recognizing where someone was, where something was, or even knowing the answer to some clues. But there were no points given for knowing the right answer. You only scored if you could put the pin on the right place on the map. And you know where I'm going with this, don't you? There is no point in being a Christian who knows their Bible back to front, who comes to church every Sunday and raises their hands and does all this worship stuff, if when we leave the door, Jesus is kept to ourselves. You win that game by being able to apply the knowledge that you've got. And we kind of win being a Christian when we apply who Jesus is to every area in our lives. Being a Christian is not about knowledge. It's about acting out the love of Christ wherever we are. And the great thing is, as we start to share, we find ourselves knowing Jesus more. As we start to give, we find him filling us with a greater passion, a greater compassion, a greater joy, a greater sense of trust, a greater sense of faith. We move from having a scarcity mindset into one that is an abundant one. So we're going to spend a few moments praying, and we're going to get really practical in our prayers. Let's just spend a couple of moments before God. Who is God showing you in this moment? And maybe as I've been speaking, maybe as we've been worshipping today, who might God be saying is your neighbour? It might be the person you sit next to at work. It might be the client or the customer that you deal with. It might be the person that lives next door or a few doors up the street. Who is your neighbour? Who is God bringing to mind? Let's spend a moment asking God quietly, how can you show God's love? How can you show God's mercy to them or kindness to them this week? How might you share who you are in Christ Jesus with your neighbour? It may be doing something positive for them or being less negative towards them when they do things that wind you up. We talk about being light to or in our community. What might that look like for you this year? Imagine yourself ablaze, not on fire, but lit up. Who needs to see that? Who needs to receive that glory of Jesus in their lives? Who might you invite to Alpha this year? It takes courage. Who might you invite to Alpha? Who do you long to see aglow with the love of Jesus? Or who needs to be invited to or back to church? Who's lost their way? What did we sing? Religion, failed by religion. Who is God revealing to you? Where might you be able to serve our neighbourhood or at TBC? Where might God be nudging you to possibly explore getting involved? Or maybe taking on an extra level of responsibility where you're already serving. Hear your responses. Where are you hearing, "If only I had"? Check that resistance out before God. Is that real or is it an excuse? Where are you sensing that scarcity thinking kicking in instead of trusting God's abundant provision? and giving out of who he is, rather than being limited by who or what we are. Picking up on some of the language that we've already used this morning, let's ask God, where is our hill country when it comes to being generous? Where is it going to be tough going? And let's ask God, give me a Caleb heart. A Caleb can do, bring it on, God, Spirit. Amen.